Hello, everyone. My name is Adam Lyons. I am from the Undercut Podcast. I am joined by Aryan once again, my wonderful co-host.
What's up, guys?
And Aryan and I are joined by a very special guest. He is from the U.S., a massive Daniel Ricciardo fan, so he's smart. And he's got a pretty sizable TikTok following. His name is Josh Marsh. Hi, Josh.
Oh, what is up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Just like I said, Josh is a Formula One fan, TikToker, Daniel Ricciardo fan. That's the most important thing. McLaren supporter. And yeah, so Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into Formula One and favorite team and driver and why?
Yeah.
And favorite track.
That's a very fair question. That's one of the hardest ones, though, honestly. Yeah. Way easier to think of a favorite driver than a favorite track.
Yeah.
I got into F1 early 2020 is when I was first introduced to it. As I've said a lot, anyone that's followed my TikTok probably has heard the stories, but was into racing since I was probably like 6 or 7, followed NASCAR since I was like 8 up into high school, and then just kind of fell out of it. You know, high school, college, you just don't have a lot of time for those things, but always would randomly watch some rally races, other things like that. And then, yeah, I found it through TikTok and just kind of watched some random videos. And I was like, this seems fun. I was like, why did I never watch F1? I don't know. And then, it wasn't until after the little shutdown for the beginning of COVID when they kind of came back that it was probably August. So I think probably about a month into the restart of the season, I started watching the race highlights after I was done with work on Sundays. I'd come back. I like make myself lunch and like throw the race highlights on. And that's kind of where it all started. And then during the off season, started watching some older races, like looking more into it. Watched Drive to Survive, you know, to just get all the nice juicy drama of F1.
Yeah.
And then
super dramatic started the season,
and now my world revolves around F1, which is kind of wild, but it's super fun.
Yeah,
it
sucks you in very quickly, Formula One. Go from I don't even remember the first race I watched, but I remember it was in 2015. But I just remember like the level of fan that I've been and the like obsession I've had with the sport has been pretty consistent since 2016.
Yeah.
It really
gets you in. Like people are like, oh, it's so dramatic sometimes, and Netflix like makes it way too dramatic. But also like it is a very drama filled sport. Cause like when you think about in the US, we have like, we have American football, we have NASCAR, there's other sports, but I mean, even NASCAR, there's like 40 drivers, so it's still double the field, and it's really only U.S. based. Like F1, you're talking about the 20 best drivers in the world, so it's like people are like, they get dropped so fast, they like don't stay around. You're like, well, you have to perform because there are many other drivers that could take your spot because it's the entire world you're competing against right now to be the best.
And Valtteri Bottas and a Mercedes, basically. That's what you're trying to say.
And in a sport that's separated by, like I've said, milliseconds. And it's milliseconds and inches, not like yards and seconds. It's such fine margins that as soon as you start to lack, like you're being cut like instantly because
it's done.
Yeah, you need to be at the best. So if you're 3/10, people are amazed when I say, Alexander Albon was 4/10 behind Max Verstappen last year and they cut him. They're like 4/10 of a second.
Yeah.
Like 4/10. If you go on your phone like and try that. And yeah, 4/10 of a second is nothing, but in Formula One, it's miles.
Years. It's miles. It's minutes. It's years.
You're 4/10. It's just
exactly. I think F1's one of those sports where you go through so many emotions in one lap. Like within a lap, you can be okay, good start. Oh wait, no, someone's next to me. Oh fuck. Oh shit, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Oh wait, oh no, I'm good. Oh wait, no, never mind. There's a car ahead of me. Oh wait, there's a car behind me. What do I do now? So you go through probably from happy to fearful to sad, disappointed, and then you go back to excited, nervous, a bit fearful, happy again. And you switch all those emotions like one lap.
Yeah.
I think there's no other sport in the world that does that so repetitively. Yeah. I think that's why it's one of the best sports in the world.
Josh, I'm glad you mentioned NASCAR because I have found a very newfound respect for NASCAR. I honestly, previously, I will admit, I feel Formula One fans feel this way. So I'm trying to change the world that NASCAR is very easy in terms of it. And I always kind of just thought, I was like, oh yeah, it's just really easy. And, you know, there's not as much coordination as Formula One and things like that. And, but after attempting to drive a NASCAR on iRacing, which is only a tip of the iceberg of difficulty, I found it insanely difficult. And I've recently studied NASCAR a little bit deeper, and I've found just the extent of its difficulty. I always thought it was difficult. And as a racing fan, I appreciate that you have to be a good racer to do it, but it's an insane skill and sport, because there is no downforce. It is the opposite of Formula One. Torque, no downforce, and the car wants to, basically the car wants to run you off the road.
It's wild.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Okay. Very random question. What do you think is harder, IndyCar or NASCAR?
Oh, that's tough. I think there, I mean,
it's two completely different fields. Yeah. But
yeah, it's very different fields, but like, it is like similar in the sense they both do run ovals and they both run road tracks. I think, do Indy cars have power steering or no?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they do.
Okay. Because I know NASCAR does not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's like, I mean, that's huge. That really adds a lot to it. But I think they both are probably, I mean, they're both obviously incredibly challenging and difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think I would say probably IndyCar a little could be considered slightly more challenging and difficult, just because it's got that nearness to F1 where, like, you know, everyone jokes about like an F1 car bumps a wall and they're like, you're retired from noise, and like a NASCAR, like stock car hits the wall and you're like, smash it out, grab the duct tape, wrap it up, like jump on the hood of the car. And
you can't even say Formula One cars don't use duct tape, because Max Verstappen secured not one,
he did
2 points of the Hungarian Grand Prix thanks to 2 pound duct tape.
So
that's like one of those, but that was rare. I was like, like when they were showing him driving coming in, I was like, oh, he's so out. But just the fact that they don't hold up as well like the IndyCars don't, just because they are a little more like fragile, I would say that it gives you a little less room for error. You don't have that wiggle room to like make a mistake as much, because if you make a mistake, like, you might lose part of your wing, and either you're going to lose 10 seconds or whatever replacing it, or you're going to lose time or whatever. So I think that might make it a little more challenging, but like, NASCAR is in itself challenging, just like the strategy a lot of times, like when you talk about the super speedways and everything, it's so much different, just like the drafting and like, you know, literally bumper to like the back of the car and three people together, and they are, you know, you're doing that for laps on laps, and like, that's a completely different strategy. So they're both very crazy sports and very challenging in their own ways.
I was just about to say that, like, I think that the IndyCar and NASCAR, and it's like Formula One and IndyCar, like Formula One is, it's faster and it's my preferred, but some people prefer IndyCar, and they're just, they're different in their own respects and they're difficult in their own respects. Like, figuring out the setup of an IndyCar versus a NASCAR is obviously going to be a lot different. And it's, but this isn't the NASCAR and Indy podcast. This is the Formula One podcast. So we're going to move on.
What are we doing here? Oh my goodness.
We'll save that for the overcut, our Indy and NASCAR podcast coming out next week. Kidding. So Josh, who is your favorite? If you're watching the YouTube video, then you already know the answer to this, but who's your favorite team and driver and why?
So it's going to have to be McLaren. For the team, and it's gonna have to be Daniel Ricciardo, because I'm a sane human being.
No Max Verstappen fans allowed, Adam.
Sorry. When Daniel Ricciardo,
I like him. I want him to win. So
I want him to win this year. To be fair,
I would. I mean, I would wear a Verstappen shirt if I had one, or like a Red Bull hat. But I got problems with Red Bull. But that's a whole nother topic conversation. I think it's funny because
we're gonna discuss these.
Oh yeah,
these problems with Red Bull. They're gonna
like. For me, I think I came to like Ricciardo through like seeing like his personality through races and videos and stuff. And like, I relate to like his high energy, his like, just like humor and all those things. And so I think on a personal level, I related. And like, he's just one of those people, like, he's very talented and he just seems like a very good dude. And just like, he's very dedicated, you can tell, but also like, he's very good at switching from being super like into it and dedicated and, like I'm on the race to like super chill, laid back, making a video with Lando.
Exactly.
And then I think McLaren partly became, like partly probably came because I was just watched like thinking about them a lot with being a Ricciardo fan. But I think the other part was just like seeing like the progress they've made in the last few years and like the dedication they've put like back into the sport and like into their drivers and into the team is like really awesome to see. And I think it'd be super cool to see like McLaren back at the top again. So
definitely.
It's hard for me because like I have, you know, I have like Vettel's also like up there. Like my top three drivers would be like Ricciardo, Vettel, and then see, it's so hard to give that third spot to someone because like some days it can go to Lando, honestly, some days it can go to Max. Sorry. Some day, and then like some days goes to Checo. Like it all depends on the weekend, honestly. But I mean, as long as I'm not, I mean, and some days it goes to Mick, honestly. But it, which is unfortunate because I don't really want to give support to Haas, even though you know they're the only USF1 team. But
I think it's a more Russian team, okay.
It hurts.
Yeah, I don't think they're really a USF1 team anymore. Last year, a little bit more, but
Yeah, and both their drivers did go to IndyCar. So they've transitioned out of America, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing pretty well in IndyCar. Roman Grosjean's got a couple podiums. Marcus Ericsson is not from Haas, but won his first race. The what was it called? It was in Nashville. The Nashville Grand Prix.
Oh, the sound. It's like the music.
The big
city.
Sound or loud sound Grand Prix.
Like that. Yep.
Cool. I like the names, but yeah. Which is widely regarded that IndyCar race is one of the worst pieces of racing craft we've seen from a group of drivers in the history of racing.
I saw some of the highlights. It was rough.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. So,
well, transition to Formula One, the best drivers in the world.
Yep.
What's your highlights of this season?
Well, we're going to hold on. Whoa, Arian.
Uh-oh.
We'll go.
Okay. And he's very excited. Well, I want to learn more about Josh. So, Josh, you have 33,000 TikTok followers. It's Barista Josh F1. Yep. This is TikTok. Make sure you guys go and follow him. And
platforms actually made it finally simple for once.
Hold on.
That is important. And 3.2 million likes. How did you get started on TikTok? And what have been some of your highlights of TikTok? And why TikTok?
Yeah.
And
so
how is it?
Oh, yeah. What were you going to say? Go ahead.
No, just, how has it changed your view on like TikTok and Formula One and having that community with you?
Yeah, for sure. So I started on TikTok in early, it's probably, beginning of 2019. And then I started posting on it. I think I posted two random videos, like right at the beginning. And I was like, this is dumb, which is exactly what I did with Vine when it came out, honestly. And then late in 2019, one of my roommates is really into like social media stuff. He works for a pretty big influencer, Zach King. He works on his team as one of his producers.
Oh yeah,
he's
a big
like,
Vine guy, right?
Yeah, he big Vine guy now. Like now, you know, really big in TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. But he's very good at like realizing what is happening in the world of social media. We were on a drive, and he was like, TikTok is going to be big. Like he got on it very early, and he now has like 6.5 million followers on it. So like, cause he just figured out what to do. Like he broke the algorithm because he cracked it, honestly. And he just kind of figured out what he needed to do. So where the Barista Josh comes from is I was really big. I'm still big into coffee. That was almost a tragic error. But I was like, I've been very involved in the coffee industry, worked as a barista for almost 4 years now. And one of the goals that I kind of had during 2020 was I had this big plan to start a like coffee business. I was roasting coffee and it went really well. And I was using TikTok and YouTube to kind of push all that out. And it was funny because like I would make video after video of coffee videos and just like slowly gaining people, and like nothing was really hitting. And then the same roommate had this idea to change his entire account over to Among Us. And we started this Among Us the Crew account, and it blew up. It put him from like 2.2 million followers all the way up to like 6.5. And so I like, after we did that and we revealed ourselves, I think gained like 1,000 followers. So I finally like crossed that 1,000 follower threshold, because I was only like 500. And I was like, okay, this is interesting because like they're following me because they're me. Like they were following me, not because I was posting Among Us content. So I'm like, that's interesting. Yeah. And then I posted a TikTok March. It was March of this year, early March. I was standing waiting to get on a flight, and two people in front of me was this guy watching F1 on his phone. And I made this like really short TikTok that was like, ooh, yeah, another closeted F1 US fan. And it got like 300,000 views. And I was like, oh, that's, okay. That was interesting. Yeah. And it was like the first, it was like the second one I made, but like the first one had done well. I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then I kept making coffee stuff. And every time I'd sprinkle in a random F1, it would do so much better. And there was a point that I was like, you know what? I'm enjoying it more because obviously like people are more engaged with this.
Yeah.
And so I started at that point and just started building it up. And it was a little crazy because I didn't really think it would go where it has at this point. Yeah. Because I mean, I started consistently uploading at the end of April and I had 1,500 followers at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that we're at 33,000 now and like, you know, over 3 million likes, because that honestly, when you look at my account, like followers are still pretty small. It's the likes that are just insane to me. It's like the fact that over 3 million times people have been like, that's funny. That's cool. I'm gonna like that. So it's been really cool to like see this community grow. And like I started like an F1 Discord and like seeing the people that were in there originally that joined like the first week that I joined TikTok, and then transferring that all over to doing like Twitch stuff on the side. It's just like, it's super cool because it's always been a thing that I've wanted to do, is doing social media, YouTube, anything like that as like a full-time job. And so the fact that like after 10 years of like trying and failing different things with it, like I'm finally making something work and like making some money from it, it's like, okay, this is a viable option. Now it's just continuing to grow and making cool things. And even if it doesn't become a full-time job, it's a super dope community and they're awesome. And I have connections all around the world where I could like go to basically, I think, any of the F1 races and I would be able to find someone that I like know or sort of know there, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's cool. Awesome. That's exactly how we feel about the podcast. And we love that people listen to the podcast, engaging with followers and the community, and just staying involved in the sport in anywhere I can, because I don't really need an excuse to talk about Formula One more. And my girlfriend and friends thank me for getting all my F1 scratching my F1 itch on this podcast instead of talking to them about it. So I still talk to people about it all the time.
I mean, but
okay, so moving on.
Disrespectful not to, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on. But Josh, that's super cool that you're taking advantage of that TikTok and hopping on that early. My only regret with the podcast and just in general is that I didn't start doing TikTok sooner, because I am a big fan of TikTok.
Yeah,
and I think it's genius. But that's for another business related podcast. But yeah, it's super cool. And
have me on for the business one. We could talk for hours about the business side of TikTok and social media. It's crazy.
Exactly. So make sure you guys go follow Barista Josh F1. If you're having trouble finding the account, it's the super funny one. So you'll be able to spot him that way.
With tons of Danny Ricciardo merch, basically.
If you
see the Danny Rick video, you know it's probably me.
Yeah. If as soon as you see Danny Ricciardo, you're like, okay, yeah, Josh is behind that.
Exactly.
All right, so moving on to Formula One now. So we're going to talk about just a couple of highlights from the first race of the season. And that's going to be the podcast, because I mean, maybe in a previous season, like 2020, highlights wouldn't really be that much of a podcast, especially because we're only halfway through. But now we have basically three podcasts worth of highlight content. So we're going to list a few of our favorite things, discuss them, and then we'll give, we'll talk about the drivers that have done very well, the drivers that we're not so impressed with in total, and then go through each of the 9 races and give them a ranking.
Very true.
Yeah.
I'll do all that.
So, and we're going to do all that. Okay. So Aryan, what has been your favorite part of, what's your favorite part of the season?
It's a very controversial, but a very dumb thing.
If it's Hungary,
it's not Hungary.
This would be our last episode.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Hungary.
We're getting out now.
I'm hovering over the end.
And I'm call ready. Button. End and leave for all. Mine's a very, I think my best moment being a McLaren and Danny Ric fan was when Danny got P6 or P5 at Monaco, where he did really well. Was it Monaco? Or was it?
Nope, not Monaco.
When did he get? When, he got when did Lando by his and,
teammate with three laps to go. And
when Monaco. Did Lando and Danny get P5 and 6 or 6 and 7?
Oh, that was the race before Hungary. So it would have been great. It would have been.
It was Silverstone. 4 and 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Silverstone.
That one. Sorry. It's like.
We're talking about highlight.
Monaco. Monaco.
Definitely. I love watching Daniel Ricciardo. I love watching him being
so slow and getting lapped. Yeah. That was the best moment for me. But yeah, I think that race was just. So I was watching it. I was watching it live at a bar with a few of my friends, and watching him and Lando sort of drive together in a way that sort of like ignited my McLaren passion a lot. Mm-hmm. Like everything about non like racing incidents wise, that was probably the best race I've seen. Like them, they weren't side by side at all, but when they were in the same camera angle in a way, that was the best thing to watch. I'm like, oh wow, the two McLarens, two of my favorite drivers, are doing really well at a track that I really love.
The British Grand Prix is not even close on my list of top moments, as
okay.
we had some guy who thinks he owns the track take out Max Verstappen in a completely unbiased decision. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, that race was pretty exciting. Again, like you take out one of the top contenders and watching kind of Hamilton come through the pack, I guess, and win.
Yeah,
much like Hungary. But yeah, Great Britain was a pretty good race. It was nice to see the McLaren boys. I had to watch that race again because when I watched it live, I watched it twice. The first time I watched it, when it was live, I had my hands and I had my face in my hands the whole time.
Yeah.
I basically was not paying attention because like I just could not believe what unfolded in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
Same thing with Hungary.
Was just – I missed the half of the race. I watched the first lap and then missed it and then came out to the final end lap. And from the first lap to the end lap, I didn't look at anything between. I had a game from like I started watching the first lap. I'm like, I saw stuff going down, and then I'm like, oh okay, good race. Sadly, I miss it. Turn on the TV back when it's like last lap, and I see Ocon winning it and Vettel P2, and I'm just looking there. I'm like, when did this happen? When did Ocon get ahead, and when did Vettel do well? Like Vettel had a horrible start. I thought he could barely finish in the points. And now, he didn't finish on the podium, unfortunately, but a merit podium, let's say that.
Yeah, we'll just say for sake.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it's not how Formula One, it's not how the rules work, but it was definitely
right now.
Yeah, a podium in our hearts.
Yeah.
Josh, what's been your favorite moment of the season and why?
I would say, I think I'm going to go by the point where I've almost yelled the loudest because, since LA, all of our races happen early, especially Baku, which started at 5 a.m. for me. Mm-hmm. The amount of time that my emotions were just full roller coaster in that race was ridiculous. I mean, Stroll, when his tire just exploded and I had to hold everything in and not scream at the world at freaking 6 a.m. or whatever it was at that point in the race. And then when Max crashed, all of my roommates were here. They were all asleep. And I stood up and I almost just screamed so loud. So the like low point of that, and then seeing Hamilton lock up and just run straight into the runoff was just such a beautiful moment. And then getting that podium of the Checo, Vettel and Gasly was so fun that I was like, it was probably the most stressful race of the season, honestly, just because of all the highs and lows, but it like it really kept you on your toes, honestly, which was really cool, which was really fun because Monaco, like everything before the race was really fun and really interesting. And then, you know, the whole incident with Valtteri in the pits was really the only real interesting thing about Monaco. But
Lance Stroll went over the curbs, which was very interesting.
That's
much much more interesting Monaco, than Gasly and Vettel going side by side up.
Yeah.
We did get one of the best memes of the season from that race.
Definitely a lot of memes this season.
Yeah. Oh, so many. But yeah, from like a unique winners and like race as a whole, Baku. But I also loved Italy and watching Verstappen push in the in the rain and do so well. But Paul Ricard was also one of those. It was a shockingly interesting race this year, and everyone was so confused when it ended, and we were all on the edges of our seats. We're like, why are we on the edge of our seats in France of all places?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
France is circuit of Paul, like the Paul Ricard circuit is very, very boring. And yeah, like high downforce, single file, yeah. Like one of those kind of tracks that it's difficult.
Notoriously boring.
Yeah. Like, and the same thing happened in Spain, but the opposite, and another boring race that you think is going to be very boring. That turns out to be extremely exciting because you don't know, is Hamilton going to catch Max? And then this at Paul Ricard, it was, is Max going to catch Hamilton? And having that, because yeah, for me, it was also Baku, despite Max crashing out.
Yeah.
The consolation was that Lewis took himself out as well. And one of many mistakes he's made this season in pretty much almost every race, except for Spain and Portugal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Baku, because just watching the two, for me, it was, yeah, watching the two laps of all the cars fighting for points and fighting for the win and fighting for the podium, and that just such a scramble. I think that's kind of like should be the sprint race format. Just let them go loose for like four laps or five laps.
Yeah. And just make them move. Yeah. I think sprint race we'll have a whole other topic about that later on. Probably not even get to it, but that's the sort of last two laps. That's what I thought sprint race would look like in my head. I thought it would be like all out. We break the latest here. But I mean, sprint races were a whole different. It's sort of, you got to build up to that. I think if sprint races, I were to train sprint races, I would like add a mandatory pit stop in there right before the last like three or four laps, and just an all out sprint after that. You pit and then you sprint and finish first. Yeah,
right, you might as well just make the race, because in IndyCar, I like how they do it. The Indy 500, you do four laps in qualifying and they average them, right? Is that, I think that's how that is. But so maybe something like that. Not where you do four laps and it's averaged, but just like a quick sprint race. But yeah, for me, Baku, that two laps, so exciting. Josh, I haven't told you this, but I was on a flight from Miami to Charleston in the US. And it was in May, and I just got my vaccine like the day before. So you know how the day after you're super sick,
it's horrible, awful, worst day of your life. Yeah.
I had to do that on a flight at 7 a.m. Yeah, exactly. So everyone who's listens to the podcast knows that story, but yeah, it was, so I didn't really also watch that. I watched the race for sure. The start, and I fell asleep kind of in the middle, 'cause you know, you're so sick, but yeah, that race was, it was just entertaining, and it's what you expect from Baku. But all the races have been entertaining. You know, if Bahrain is one of the most boring races of the season, and that was an absolute banger, it's been a pretty good season. What are some other highlights?
Hamilton sitting by himself in Hungary.
Yeah, that was the craziest thing I've ever seen in Formula One by far. I never thought I would. I got to stop saying that, because every time I'm like, I've never thought I'd see something like that, or I didn't expect that. Like, that's just the thing in Formula One. It is everything you expect, but the complete opposite. But yeah, one guy lining up on the grid was so weird to see.
It was a very weird start.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the instant regret. You're like, bummer.
a complete F up. I guess the Mercedes kind of fucked the dog on that one.
Mercedes have messed up a lot of things this year, if I think about it.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of mistakes from people you don't expect to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like Mazepin.
No. I expect Mazepin to make a mistake. I never expected him to ever spin. But yeah.
Yeah, Hamilton especially a lot of people realize the mistakes this guy's made in Formula One this year. Bahrain, he went wide, giving Max basically the position, and or almost giving Max the position. A little foggy on that. I got to rewatch all the races, I think, before the second half of the season as a refresher. There's
too much happened in one season, or half a season.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single race.
Last season, I can remember like every single detail of every race after watching it once because there wasn't that many. This season, it's a little bit more difficult. But yeah, it went wide, and Imola, he went off the track in the wet, scrambling to try and overtake Russell. Portugal and Spain were pretty good, I guess. Monaco was a nightmare. He just he didn't make any mistakes. He just had no pace.
Never seen him so upset.
He's like, how did they pass me? It's because you were slow. You're slow.
Exactly.
Monaco, he was, and this happened to him in 2019 as well, just no pace. And Azerbaijan, brake magic. France, mess up the strategy, let Max overtake him. Austria.
Up in Austria.
Just slow pace. I don't think he really made any critical errors.
I mean, no one was going to catch that Red Bull either.
Yeah.
No way.
Great Britain took out Max. Hungary made the mistake with the pit stops at the beginning. He's messed up almost practically every race this season. He has made a critical error. How he's actually still in the championship fight, I mean, it's because he's an amazing driver and he's crushing it. But it's crazy the amount of like small little mistakes he's made. He's really feeling the pressure.
Question, do you think the mistakes are a result of increased competition? Because he sort of went through the same phase with Nico when they were battling for the championship, where you saw a glimpse of mistake. It wasn't like glaring mistakes like this year, but you saw mistakes coming through. Is it because of increased competition, or is a Mercedes car harder to drive this year?
Josh,
or a combination of both?
Yeah, I would say competition personally. Just
I agree.
Anyone that's ever done any sport, like you. Yeah. You know the feeling of like I played like tennis all through like when I was very young up through like high school and everything. And I mean, you go up against someone and you do a little warm up and you know immediately like, okay, this person is above my skill level. This person is at my skill level or they're below my skill level. And like when they're below, like you still have to be focused and everything, but you can be a little more relaxed. You can make a mistake and no one really thinks about it when you make a mistake because like you still end up crushing them. Whereas when they're like healthy competition, especially if you're someone like Hamilton who went so long with like very little, I mean, really think about his last like big competition was Nico. And you go from, you know, I'm sure he made mistakes last season too. But we just don't really think about it. Cause like it didn't have a big effect. But when you take that pressure, and then you combine it with like the smallest mistakes make very large changes in F1. I mean, again, you know, as we said at the beginning, we're talking about milliseconds, like thousands of a seconds here that when you do something like not pitting correctly, like he did in Hungary, the fact that he still managed to finish second is a testament to how amazing of a racer he is. But it's also like one of those things where you're like, you've been racing long enough that you probably should have realized this. But like when you have all those things running in your mind of like, all right, this is how far behind I am in the points. Like I actually need to fight to like try to get back up into first in the points and not I'm cruising ahead by 90 points right now where I could, you know, crash out of four races and be fine basically.
Very true.
There is definitely a lot of truth to that. I think, you know, in 2017 and 18, he did have a lot of competition from Sebastian Vettel, especially in the first half of the season.
True.
And his... But his consistency won him that championship where Vettel would like finish first and second and third and first, but then like DNF ninth, first, that kind of stuff, especially towards the end of the end of the season. And in 2017, it was Singapore that sealed the deal. And 2018 was Germany.
Yeah.
But the pressure from Verstappen has not been, was not matched by Vettel, and in a sense, not even matched by Nico. Like Nico really had to give it everything to beat Hamilton, and Max is definitely giving it everything. But that kind of pressure from Max,
he's also cruising in some races.
Like Austria and Monaco.
Like, hello.
Yeah, Austria.
See ya. But yeah, so Hamilton, I think, is every mistake he's made. If you look back at Bahrain, the mistake, feeling the pressure from Max, made the mistake.
Yeah.
Italy, he was trying to catch up to Max, trying to overtake Russell, who's a lap car, force him into a mistake. Monaco, he's just not good at Monaco. Let's admit it. He's not good at Monaco. How he even has a win there, I have no idea. Azerbaijan, just Max DNF'd. He wants that win so bad to get the championship. And whether he forgot to turn it off or he turned the brake magic off and bumped it, still a mistake.
Yeah.
Austria and France, just again, like slow pace. There's nothing you can really do about those races. Great Britain, just being fed up with Max and beating him. So he makes a pretty audacious, but a pretty ambitious move up the inside, causes an accident.
Yeah.
And Hungary, as soon as Max and Checo were taken out, I think he relaxed a little too much and just basically thought he could do whatever the hell he wanted. Mm-hmm. And so you take that competition away and just a kind of a rookie mistake for Mercedes. So that's been a season. So if Max keeps this pressure, I don't doubt that Lewis Hamilton's going to crack.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've seen a new side of Lewis this year we haven't seen since the Vettel fighting days in Ferrari. I think he's showing that he's vulnerable in certain areas, and you see, as a fan, you can see where Hamilton isn't great, where Mercedes's car just made up for the past couple of years, that the vulnerability he has as a driver, it just wasn't shown because of how great that car was, and no one was in the same playing field as he was. I think this year with the Red Bull being that quick in the field, being the closest it's ever been in the past 5 years, I would say, that he's showing a whole different side where he's vulnerable and he is making mistakes that you would see the likes of a Haas or Alfa Romeo or Williams driver do.
And these mistakes aren't necessarily new to him. If you look back at his rookie season, his mistake in China cost him the championship. Like, that's what cost him the championship.
Yeah.
Basically, by one point, by going off in the gravel and DNFing. So, and he is human and he makes mistakes, but in a season where Max essentially has had a 10 out of 10 season, he's been pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
You guys disagree? I don't really know a lot of mistakes he's made.
The biggest errors have been some of the Red Bull strategies sometimes, honestly, more so than Max's driving.
Yeah, their strategy in Spain wasn't that great. He made a mistake in Portugal. A couple of mistakes there, but France, an amazing race. Azerbaijan, not his fault. Monaco, amazing. Bahrain was a little bit his fault. I guess Austria, absolute W's. No one could catch him. Great Britain, not really his fault. I don't place all the blame on Hamilton, though. I think it was a little bit his fault, but more Hamilton's. Yeah. And then Hungary, and a perfect race. He did not step a foot wrong in that race. Yeah. So,
I mean, he was only there for less than a lap, so you couldn't. Yeah.
No, Max.
Max in Hungary. Max. My bad. Say that wrong. Sorry.
Wrong Red Bull driver.
My bad. Go on.
Yeah, he's had a pretty outstanding season. So I'm very excited for the next. Edge of the season. I'm also very happy to. I know a lot of people don't like Monaco. I love Monaco. I love driving it in the Formula One game. I love watching pole laps. Their racing is boring.
I just love seeing Monaco back on a track, back on the circuit. Basically, you miss it, even though like the track isn't the best. If I think by like driving wise, isn't there's not much. There's not much overtaking going on. You just don't see a lot of stuff happening. But just watching cars go around the circuit is something that, if you're an F1 fan, you enjoy it the most, probably.
Yeah, they get so close to the walls, and rain always tosses up the race, and it is a train, basically, the race, and it's always pretty boring. But I'm never bored watching it. I know a lot of people get bored watching it. Josh, we forgot to ask, what's your favorite track? Arian and Adam, myself. I'm speaking strictly in the third person now. We haven't even listed our favorite tracks yet.
Monza.
But We'll do that now. Josh, what's your favorite track?
Dude, that is tough because there's honestly like a lot of good ones for different, for like different reasons. I think it probably comes down to between three, honestly. One is Baku because I love the like feeling of the street circuit like Monaco, but with opportunities to like overtake. Still not as many as other tracks, but like there's a lot more chance for racing, honestly, than other places.
Yeah.
Spa, just because
it's iconic.
And like it's such a beautiful track and there's so much like good racing potential there. And then why did I just totally blank? Oh no, this is embarrassing. Whatever.
Come to you.
It wasn't the one I was thinking of initially, but I do love watching Canada, which is why I'm sad that it's 2 years in a row we haven't had it.
It's a nice
track, honestly. It's a fun
home. Yeah, Circuit Gilles Villeneuve.
Named after Gilles
Villeneuve, who sadly passed away in 1982 at the Belgian Grand Prix. I think it's a little bit of a bias because in terms of like my favorite track, you know, maybe I think Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, but I really like Spa. So I think Spa's got to take it. Yeah. It's a track that actually has its own climate. Yeah. It is the closest thing to the the Nordschleife or the Nordschleife, whatever you want to call it, we kind of have in modern Formula One. It's long.
Yeah.
It is dangerous as hell. There is no room for error, and the racing it's always a banger. Except for last year, a bit boring. Most of the times it's a banger. We've had so many good races there, and if they kind of fix some of the safety stuff, because we've seen a lot of bad accidents, especially coming up El Rouge and Radion and El Rouge with Antoine Hubert in 2019 and Jack Aiken a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you've seen that crash.
Yeah,
it was pretty scary. He walked out of it fine. A miracle. But yeah, it's definitely Spot. It's just like what a track. Like El Rouge and Radion is insane. And it's fun to overtake. I'm sure it's fun to drive. And it just works with so many different, I'm breaking out of the scope of Formula One here, but it works with so many different sports. Formula One.
Oh yeah.
You have they have the 24-hour Spa. Like it's an iconic race in the WEC. It's so much fun, So that's my. Arian, what about you?
I said this on our latest TikTok, but Monza, just because of I think I'm not a Ferrari fan anyway. I don't like Ferrari. If you've seen our podcast, but I think I just love watching cars because someone like Monaco as well, where I love cars going around Monza. I don't know why. It's like a certain like appeal to it that just makes me wanna always look at Monza a lot more than any other. Like when Monza comes on the calendar, I'm like, nice. Okay, this is my favorite race. I'm going to watch every second of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple like, track layout if you think about it. So nothing like too spectacular like Abu Dhabi circuit. It's pretty straightforward. There's not many. There's 12 corners.
I mean, yeah, it's something small like that. It's mostly
11 or 12.
For me, that I love that race. I love watching. Oh, getting real close to the mic. I love watching qualifying and just the drivers trying to figure out who's going to go ahead of who, because the slipstream is so valuable in that race, in that qualifying. Sorry, that in 2019 we had like 10 drivers didn't do their qualifying their second laps because
that clip is hilarious.
Yeah, or maybe that was 2020. I'm getting my years mixed up, but
I think it's 20. Such a funny clip.
I feel F1's a got a lot. I think since like introduction of, I don't know if you've seen WTF1's Internet's Best Reactions. I think the amount of memes that get generated after each race week is absolutely insane. Like, how does so much funny moments happen in F1 weekend? Like after Hungary, my Twitter was just F1 meme, and that's it. That's all I saw the entire day.
That's Liberty Media, man. It's getting F1 more involved in social media. And so F1's blowing up on social media. It's insane. So many people, like including you guys, like became fans because of partially or entirely because of Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
Like I became a fan through the F1 2015 video game. Like Josh, if you know, do you know who Erva?
Yeah.
Is
Yeah.
I watched his Sebastian Vettel F1 2015 season mode.
Dang.
And I was like, damn, that's pretty cool. Let me get the game, got the game, and then you know the rest is history. But
there it is.
If I wasn't a fan then, I would have been a fan through Drive to Survive because yeah, I love Liberty Media. And the memes are so good too. Formula One memes have only gone up in quality. We can make an entire podcast on Formula One memes exclusively.
Easily.
Easily.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. So we've talked about some of the best moments of the season. Now let's go into rate. We can rate. It depends what you guys want to do. We can rate just the races.
Mm-hmm.
We can rate the races and drivers or just the drivers.
I think those are races, and then we can do, if we have time, we can do the drivers.
Yeah. All right. So it won't be a ton of debate. We'll keep it pretty short.
Mm-hmm.
But Bahrain.
Race-wise, I think after a long break, I'm just a bit more, I have to give it a higher rating. Just because even the bar map, the least attractive race compared to the rest of the season. But just because I haven't seen Formula One go around on a race weekend, I'll give it a solid 8.
Yeah, same thing. 8.
Yeah, I was going to say like 7.5 because it wasn't super exciting. But I think it showed the setup for what the season was going to look like between Max and Hamilton.
Yeah, the whole Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton like battling throughout the whole race, Max putting it on pole, and you didn't really know who was going to win. You didn't know if Mercedes was sandbagging, and you didn't know if Red Bull was really showing their true pace. So a lot of anticipation and just overall a pretty exciting Grand Prix. So yeah, an 8.
Yeah.
The Formula One Pirelli Grand Primo della Made in Italy, El dell'Emilia Romagna 2021 Grand Prix. Or
the longest one, the longest or name.
Imola.
Or
Imola, as we like to call it.
Uh-huh.
9. Pretty easy. 9.
9.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
It was
like there's not a
quality one.
It had rain. There was, you know, there were some boring bits, but there was some overtaking, safety cars, there was a red flag. There was a crashes. The whole Bottas Russell crash. We didn't even talk about the Bottas and Russell.
Yeah.
Russ. I always go say Russell.
Russell.
Russell crash, which was insane. And yeah, so a solid 9 out of 10. Portugal, 6.
Like 6.5. I don't even really remember that race. That
exactly. Yeah. That's probably, for me, one of the most boring races of the season. Just such a classic race. Like,
Hamverbot, basically.
Yeah, it was.
It was a very Hamverbot race.
It was Hamverbot.
It was.
Like, it was Hamverbot, yeah.
Hamilton just had an absolute stormer the entire race. Qualifying, I'm just looking at the results now. Like, Mercedes pretty convincingly.
Yeah.
You know, by 4/10 on pole, 1-2. Mm-hmm. And the race was kind of boring as well. I don't really remember a ton of exciting. Yeah. So, 6. Mm-hmm.
I'll say a 6-7 between that, definitely.
Spain.
Ooh. I'm going to give it 8-7, maybe 7-8.
Josh, what do you think?
I'd say 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say an 8 because I'm not going to be biased towards Red Bull. So if whatever I rate France, I'm going to rate the Spain, so I'll say 8. It's very intense. Like, who's going to win? Is Lewis going to catch him? Is he not? Oh, my God. Now he's 10 seconds, and he's 9. No, now he's 11, and he's 6, and now he's 6.5. And so it was very interesting in that sense.
Yeah.
So, I'll go an 8. Monaco.
7, 8.
5.
I would say an 8 for Monaco, personally.
Yeah, I like seeing cars go on Monaco, so I will say 8 after
it was a really fun podium. Break.
Yeah,
I'll give it a 7 because of its podium.
Yeah,
but no overtaking. The battle between Vettel and Gasly was pretty interesting.
Nah, and the best was watching that show go over.
Yeah, the curve was so awesome. I loved seeing that.
Just the way the car rolled over that gently. yeah, red and white stripe curb. That was the best part for me in that race.
Very controversial qualifying with
Charles Leclerc,
Charles hitting the barrier, getting pulled, and having a hairline fracture in his gearbox, something.
Yeah.
And having to not start the race. So Max started on pole and won the race. Yes. Yeah. Like a 7 or an 8. Azerbaijan, 10, first 10 of the season. What a race.
10.
It's insane. Yeah. The ending was absolutely insane. There's so much tire controversy. So much. Yeah.
Definitely
10. 10 for you boys as well.
Definitely a 10.
Agreed.
It was good stuff. Definitely.
France, 8.
8. I think this season's either been eight and a half. 10, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of high ratings. Nothing really that boring. France, same thing. Like Max Verstappen, like pulling the reverse Mercedes, catching Hamilton, catching Bottas. Like that was pretty exciting. But other than that, the race wasn't like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah.
Same thing as Spain.
Yeah.
Austria.
7, 8 for both, I would say.
6 for the first one.
Yeah.
It was pretty boring.
It's pretty boring.
Both races were overall.
The boring. Second one was definitely a lot more, I would say, it was more interesting because they just started penalizing everybody.
Oh, yeah. like Yuki Tsunoda got more penalty points for touching, going like 3 inches over the white line than Antonio Giovinazzi did it for going 30 kilometers over in the pit lane in Hungary.
Yeah.
Like the first one was definitely just like, it felt very standard 2020. You had Red Bull, Mercedes, and it was like, all right, cool. And not a lot happened. But like the second one, there was just a lot more battling going on. Like you know, Lando fighting for that third place. Just all the penalties, I think, just also added some spice and some tension, which was really interesting. Russell trying to get into the points for the first time and then getting overtaken by like that Alonso battle. Alonso's been a part of a lot of really great battles this year, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I think he's definitely Alonso making Hamilton. An impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely
coming back into the sport. He's especially in Hungary, which we'll get to in a second. Austria, 6 and 7, I guess. A 6 for the first race, pretty boring. 7, slightly more interesting, but they're kind of homogenized with me. They're pretty much the same. Great Britain,
8.5, 9.
British Grand Prix, an 8. I don't want to keep giving 8s, but it was. Yeah.
Give me a 4 because I missed it. That's not the race.
You missed the race. Oh.
Yeah, I was in the woods. I was literally in a car at the beginning of the race, and I missed it because I was out of service. And then it was about 45 minutes into the race, I think is what it was, when I finally got service. And I checked the race, and we were only 2 laps in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Lord, what happened? And I looked at the results, and I was like, where's Max?
Where's Max?
What? And then I was just like, it was just hell broke loose at that point. But I never got to watch the entire race because I went and watched the highlights, and then I was so busy I never watched the whole race. But from what I saw, I'd probably give it like a solid 7. But just mad that I missed all the drama.
I think a 7 as well.
Yeah.
Beginning was interesting. The whole race was pretty interesting. And the sprint qualifying, I think, was a success. Some people may disagree.
Yeah. But,
and then Hungary, a 10. Yeah,
10 out of 10.
What a race!
I didn't give it, but
I enjoyed that race despite both Red Bulls getting taken out in the first lap by Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah, that's
all the races. So I was going to say we would do the driver review so far, but I think we're going to save it for another podcast.
Definitely very interesting. Did you guys see the Will Buxton article today on F1 where he predicted the 2025 grid?
The 2025 grid.
Yeah, he did. I think it came out this morning for me, at least. And he put what the 2025 grid would look like. And he says, okay, I'll read everything out.
What?
Red Bull. Red Bull is Max Verstappen, Lando Norris. Ferrari is Charles and Sainz. Mercedes is George Russell and Daniel Ricciardo. McLaren is Patrick Award and Pierre Gasly. Aston Martin is Nick De Vries and Liam Lawson.
Okay.
Alpine is Ocon, and I don't want to butcher his name, but
Theo.
AlphaTauri is Dennis, and I've heard about if you guys seen
Arvid Lindblad.
Yeah, I saw him in he was in the UK and I saw him at the airport. It's a very cool story. I saw him on Instagram before and I'm like, oh, this guy looks very familiar. And I was at the airport, I saw him. So I said hi to him. If you're listening, hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, you might remember the random guy wearing a black hoodie at the airport. That's me. But yeah. Yeah, what do you guys think of? I'll get to the rest. What do you think so far? The best was Mercedes going Daniel Ricciardo.
I think Red Bull with Lando, and yeah. I never could see that happening.
Nah, definitely not.
It's two big potential powerhouses together on one team, and like that just sounds like potential disaster.
Yeah, George Russell and Daniel Ricciardo.
It's a possibility, to be fair.
Yeah,
it is a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, now you said it, and it's
crazier.
I could definitely see it.
Mm.
Crazier things have happened in the sport for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, well, I mean, because if you think about it, if Russell, whether Russell comes in this year, whether or in 2022 or 2023, like
yeah.
if he goes, he'll be there for a while. Sure. And like whether Hamilton, you know, stays after this year, which he probably will, honestly.
Yeah.
At least for another season, I would personally say. So at that point, if you're with Hamilton and then Russell, well, yeah. by the time if Hamilton were to leave after 2022, which is definitely like I could definitely see happening. You're looking that's right around the time when Danny's contract expires with McLaren.
Yeah.
And if he's doing well enough, like he has the experience in F1 that I feel like Mercedes wants alongside of Russell when they have him there. Like they don't want yeah. two new people. Cause then what you just end up having a Ricciardo and Verstappen situation again, where like they're good friends, they're good, but like they clash so much on the track, whereas like mm-hmm. you need someone with experience alongside of Russell. Cause exactly. he is still new. Like
exactly.
he's good, but like he's still very new and has a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? Do you think Valtteri's gonna get sacked for next year, or do you think it's going to be George and Hamilton?
I think it's going to be one. I think it's going to be one more year till George goes to Mercedes, in my opinion. Mm. Unless there's something that we don't know of yet, where Valtteri is looking to go to another team, yeah. and they're interested in him. Like if an Alfa Romeo or something wants to pay him more to like be there, then I could maybe see yeah. that. But as much as people shit on Valtteri a lot, honestly, it's like go look at what he's done during 2021 and 2020, and it's pretty consistent, honestly, aside yeah. from Hungary.
He's a, yeah.
from yeah
he's a very good Hungary second driver.
Imola,
yeah, he's a great second driver. Yeah. He gets along Baku, well with Hamilton. Yeah. Will be like
Austria and yeah, Austria.
Yeah, he pretty consistently gets points. So I mean, yeah. they—it's Mercedes. Toto could. I mean, he's not as bad as Christian. So
you could put me in that motherfucker. I'd still get points. In yeah. That's a lie. That wouldn't even be close. I have a massive respect for Bottas, yeah. but I will spark some controversy. No, I don't think Bottas is going to be there next year. Strictly because I think Russell's a pretty hot commodity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Agreed.
And they just don't want to keep putting him off. But yeah, like Josh, you're right, like he's young, he's only like 22 23,
yeah,
so he still has a lot to learn, and like you think you know a lot and you go to a big team, and but I don't think Bottas is gonna want to leave Mercedes at all.
No,
definitely.
Alfa Romeo could say, hey, we'll pay you $2 billion a year.
Maybe like nah,
yeah, what's the point?
No.
What's even the point that's of racing point. If you're just going to go from a Mercedes to an Alfa Romeo by choice?
He does want to stay in F1, though.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, if definitely. Mercedes yeah. drops him, then is
oh, yeah.
For
he's
sure.
Getting a seat. He's getting for a seat sure. somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Best it'll thing be, I saw, Will Buxton predicts Alfa Romeo, Mick Schumacher, and Arthur Leclerc.
That one's legit, though. That's a legit.
I think Mick is going to be in Alfa. I hope Mick's not an Alfa Romeo.
I hope
you really think he'll go... He'll go to Ferrari?
I thought he'll be at Aston. Only because of the connection he has with Seb.
No. Signs?
I could see that.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Oh, I don't think so. His we're just playing the devil advocate today.
Yeah.
He is a Ferrari on Ferrari driver. I really don't see him anywhere else in a Ferrari driven team.
From being honest, as long as Carlos Sainz is at Ferrari, there is no space for Mick. There's absolutely no space for Mick.
Yeah.
Carlos Sainz is a good, dependable driver. He's quick, yeah. competes he's with quick. Leclerc.
And he's still young.
Charismatic. Everyone likes him.
Yeah. He's young. He brings in money from the sponsors. He's everything that Ferrari wants. Yeah. Partner with Charles Leclerc. Charles Leclerc is there for a long time.
Yeah.
And until I think he, Carlos until Sainz is there for a long leave. Time. Yeah.
Basically. I like the Williams prediction. With Jamie Chadwick, the first female Formula One driver. I
can totally see that.
Yeah.
She's Jamie Chadwick. If you don't know who she is, she's a W Series driver, W Series champion. Mm-hmm. She's quick. Hasn't driven Williams' car yet. Well, she's driven one at Goodwood. It was like there is a KK Rosberg's championship winning like 1986 or whatever, whenever he won.
Yeah.
But she's going to start throwing it back. She's going to, I think she'll get some sim time in, some testing in Formula One. I think that one's legit.
I like how the other Williams driver is currently 14.
Yeah.
I just Googled his name to see. I've never heard of him before in my life. He's born 2006. He's 14.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hurts me.
Wow. He'll be my age in Formula One. If that happens. Oh, wow. Very nice.
very nice.
Make Yuki Tsunoda look like Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. Exactly. How old is Yuki Tsunoda, by the way?
He's 20.
21.
Born March 23rd or something, 2000.
Completely wrong. It's 11th May.
It's close. It's close. May 11th, 2000. I had the year right. Yeah. But yeah. And then Haas. Let's see. Haas. Haas is Kyle Kirkwood and Zane Maloney.
Yeah. Yeah. Both, I think, very. I know Kyle's like a IndyCar driver.
Still there in 2025.
Yeah. Kyle Kirkwood is a pretty promising talent in the Indy. Yeah. He's in the IndyCar Lights, or he's in something.
Yeah.
In Indy right now. And they, you know, probably getting an American in an American team will be a good idea. So yeah, I can see that. Not a lot to say with them though. Yep. Yeah, that's a pretty bold prediction. We can almost do a whole podcast on them.
On that prediction. But yeah, definitely.
But all right. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about in the season before we head out?
One bold prediction for the rest of the season.
Oh.
Kimi Raikkonen world champion.
Oh, I thought you were about to make one.
No.
Bold prediction?
For the rest of the season. I have mine.
What is it?
Gasly's going to win a race.
You think Gasly will win a race?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. Something would have to happen for him to win.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. He's not going to be quicker in AlphaTauri than Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton.
I'll take that one step further in my prediction. There are going to be two different winners who are not in a Red Bull, Ferrari, or Mercedes.
All right.
Okay. I'll go three because McLaren, that's a pretty good possibility. There will be three different winners that are not in the top three, those three teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the rest of the year. I
would love to see McLaren on the top side of the podium.
Lando Norris. I'm going to guess. Lando Norris.
Okay.
Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
And Pierre Gasly.
Okay.
Can't wait for Monza, Pierre Gasly to triumph once again.
Once again.
Okay, Josh,
what's your bold prediction? We're holding you to this, by the way.
Oh, of course, nothing I would expect on me less. I think that battle for third in the driver's standing is going to be pretty tight, as it always is, and it already is, and I think Lando's going to hold it, and I think he's going to take third this year.
Lando, wow, Lando in third, that's bold.
Very bold. And you asked bold, I deliver bold.
I will never, ever say someone's prediction is dumb ever again. I don't think that prediction is dumb in nature. Like, but
I'll say bold with a lot
it
of
is bold.
Marks around it.
Exactly.
But I remember like some of the predictions last year that have come sort of true. Mm. I thought those are never going to happen. Like I just sprung them out just to say, like I said, Red Bull's going to win the championship. And my co-host at the time was like, are you like, that's not going to happen. And you know, it might happen. It's a pretty good shot. So.
It should be. I think this season it's, I'm never too wrong to make a bold prediction.
Exactly.
I think there's a higher chance of getting a bold prediction right than getting a normal prediction right. Like so, called it when Gasly finished tops up of the, when he finished on the podium. We had a podcast with one of my friends, Chris, and I said on the podcast that Gasly will have the best weekend he's had all season long.
Yeah,
and he did, and he got on the podium.
Dang.
A random, it's a very random, bold prediction, but I think this season it's already surprised me so much. And we've, yep, as his on our rating, nothing was lower than a 6 or 7.
Right? Yeah, he's had a great couple of seasons.
Exactly.
And all right, so that is it from us. Thank you very much for listening and or watching. Make sure you follow us on our website at check out our website at www.theundercutpod.ca. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, Clubhouse, everything, any social platform we have, except for maybe Facebook and MySpace and Vine, at The Undercut Pod. Definitely check us out. Let us know what your driver ratings are, or that's going to be for another podcast. Let us know what your ratings for the race are, what your thoughts are. If you agreed with our thoughts and our opinions, if you disagreed, let us know. Please make sure to follow Josh on TikTok at Barista Josh. Is it Barista Josh? Barista Josh F1.
That's one.
Critical to add the F1. I feel like that was a late ad.
Critical.
Critical. Barista Josh F1. Great. Makes awesome content. He's our favorite TikToker who's not us.
Oh, thanks.
Obviously.
Yep. Oh, fair point. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
Our, but our favorite TikToker. So make sure you check us out. Follow us on TikTok as well. And yeah, have a great evening, Josh. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man. That was a ton of fun. Anything you want to shout out?
It's super fun.
Anyone or anything you want to shout out? Website?
Just follow me on TikTok. And if you want to have a good time, come hang out with me on Twitch, because it's always a party. And people laugh at me, and my chat bullies me every day. So if you want to be a part of the bullying, it's acceptable cyberbullying. But only to me. That's
acceptable bullying.
Definitely.
All right. So we'll link his TikTok and his Twitch below. But thank you very much, and have a good night or morning.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Okay.